Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. We're pleased to have with us today a member of the York County Council. His name is Watts Huckabee. He's sitting right across from me and wondering what the heck I'm going to say next.
One of seven council members. Good to see you, Manny.
That's true. You are one of seven. For those who have not met you yet, and we keep growing every day, so there's lots of people who have not, tell them a little bit about you and your background.
So I grew up in downtown Rock Hill, just a couple of blocks from Winthrop. Attended Ebenezer, Sullivan, and Northwestern, graduated from Winthrop. So I knocked all four out of the park, I guess. I don't know, my teachers and professors might not agree with that one. But anyway, local guy, been in business here for 34 years, owned an insurance agency. I'm a investor partner at the Pump House Restaurant and Service Center out on Service Center Muffle Masters out on Cherry Road. I own that business with a friend of mine. So really involved in the community, have been for 34 years, and was approached about serving on county council. The people that approached me thought I had some skills that would be you know, valuable to the county, so I joined county council almost 2 years ago.
And you have decided to run for a full 4-year term.
Yeah, I took Brandon Guffey was in this seat previously. He left to join the State House. So there were 2 years left on his term, so I have fulfilled those 2 years, and I'm running for 1 4-year term, and looking for my replacement, so somebody else can learn before they get elected and can step right in and be effective.
But it takes some time to learn this job, does it not?
It does. Yeah. It's taken me a solid year just to understand the processes. I mean, I've chaired boards before, understand Robert's rules, but it's different on this level, everything that we deal with ordinances and just process. You know, process is king. $450 million budget. That's a lot to learn. The book we had this year, you know, it's 2.5 inches thick. I read through it all page for page this year. I didn't last year. It's a lot. It's a lot to absorb. It's a lot to get your head around.
And then you, of course, have to deal with the entire structure of council. You got seven different personalities.
Yes.
Representing different parts of the county, each with different interests. And wanting to accomplish stuff.
Yeah, and you know, in business, you and I own our own businesses, and often if we're going to make a decision, we may pull a group of people together. I was in a meeting this morning talking about how we should handle something. You get input, you have an open discussion, but I guess the politics of things don't necessarily operate that way. They're more backroom conversations, one-off conversations. To garner support for something that you want, you need at least four votes for what you feel passionate about. That's been an adjustment for me. Oh, yeah. I'd rather talk about things publicly than to go behind the scenes and have not a pressure conversation, because I don't do that, but an educational conversation for someone to consider something that you're thinking that could be for the betterment of all of York County.
So one of the things that you've had to do in your first 2 years, along with the rest of the member of council, is find yourself a new county manager.
Yes.
David Hudspeth served on, a long interim basis, and then he decided to hang it up. And you went out, you hired a fellow by the name of Josh Edwards. And from your first, what has he been here, 6 months?
He came in April.
April.
First week of April.
So May, June, July, August, 4 months.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that we completed our due diligence properly in the process. We had an idea of what we were looking for in a leader, and I'd say that Josh checks many of those boxes. A lot of times we interview someone that people interview well, but when they actually start to work, things don't turn out the way they turned out in the interview process. Mike Moore left York County. He's gone down to Beaufort County as the county manager down there. I think they've had five county managers in 2 years.
Beaufort County is a tough county.
Yeah. Well, and it's important to interview properly and ask the questions and listen to the answers to know that someone can actually step in and implement. So with Josh, one of the things that's really impressed me is who we thought we were hiring. I'm confident we have hired who we interviewed. And, you know, when you bring new leadership in, you have to look back and say, listen, you know, York County got to where it is somewhat because of where we're positioned geographically, but prior leadership, prior county councils, prior staff of the county got you to where you are. And when you have new leadership come in, you have to open your mind up and think, okay, what does this person have in mind that's for the betterment of York County? And Josh has come in, and I have to applaud him because what he's doing initially is he's looking within the county and saying, okay, what can we do differently and better as a county first, our county staff? So he's engaging our staff. He's communicating, openly communicating with staff, with council, with the community involved. So if there's an issue or there's a concern or there's just something that needs to be communicated out to the public, he's doing so. So, you know, you and I talked about this when I first ran for council. We talked about what role York County, the government may have in repairing some relationships with the city of Rock Hill and other municipalities, and us working together for the overall good of York County. And I would say that some of that has already taken place, but the best of that is before us. So that's one of those rocks that I believe the county is going to do a great job at, and that is leading and leading with other entities here in the county that are our strategic partners.
Well, you know, when you talk about hiring, and you've hired a lot of people in your day, as I have, you never know really what you have until you got them.
Yes.
You know, the interview process can go wonderful. You can check all the background and the references and all that. I mean, just take a look at Winthrop University.
Yes. Dr. Cerna has done a great job with his vision.
Yeah. And prior to him, it was not a pleasant experience.
Right.
Leave it at that. All right, so you got your new guy. He's in place. And one of the things that I knew nothing about until you and I conversed the other day was the work that you all have been doing on a strategic plan.
Yes.
Now, has there been strategic plans on this at this order in the past?
No, there hasn't been. This, to my knowledge, this is the first ever county strategic plan. And I think what's interesting about this is, Manny, think about it. A new leader comes in, and they have an idea as to what they would like to accomplish. But it's only human nature when a leader comes in and change is going to take place, positive change, engaging change, that your staff is going to probably, some of the staff are going to push back. They're going to resist change. It just happens. And so often when staff resist change, sometimes a leader will back down and you go back to status quo. Well, let's think about this for a minute. Josh came in April. He probably had already, I know Josh well enough. He had already mapped out what week one was, week two, week three, week four, week five, six, and so on. He had a plan, same plan he shared with us when we interviewed him. But you know what happened the first couple of weeks he was here? We had the storm.
Oh, yeah.
Unexpected, right?
Yeah, quite a storm.
And that occupied many, many hours of his time in the first 10, 12 weeks of him being here. On top of
Silfab Solar,
yeah. Yes. I mean, the time that our staff is spending on a business coming into York County, and I'm going to be careful what I say because I just have to be careful what I say, but point is, the time we're spending on that, then you, because you asked the question, you said, first ever strategic plan, yes. So while he is distracted having to deal with these major issues that require leadership, he can't stop pushing us forward on some initiatives that are going to have a short and long-term impact. So the strategic plan was part of what we were going to do when we hired him. His first meeting with us, he said, this is a priority. We got to get moving on it. We're also going to get moving on managing and preparing for next year's budget, so the 25-26 budget. Starting to work on that now. That's part of the strategic plan. So think about it. He comes in and he has two unexpected items that are occupying a lot of his time, but yet we have managed, came in April, we're in August, We just had a revision, the first draft in the revisions of a strategic plan that lays out six strong points for council to consider. And by the way, that strategic plan was not created by Josh. It wasn't created by council. It was created by the staff of York County and county council working together to boil it down to these six initiatives. Now, within the six initiatives, there's a lot of content in there. As you said when I sat down earlier, as you read through it, there's a lot in there.
Yeah, there's an awful lot in there.
It is.
Well, in fact, there are six main categories.
There are.
Number one is grow economic opportunities. I don't have my reading glasses with me. Number two has to do with high-performance organization.
Yes.
All right, the next one has to do with premier parks.
That's right.
Which we are getting into big time. The next one has to do with grow responsibly.
That's correct.
And then we get down here to, my gosh, I have
safe community.
A safe community and then quality infrastructure.
That's correct.
That's a bunch of, and if you looked at all these, there must be, there's a bunch of stuff under each one of those headings.
It is. And you know what, Manning? I remember when I first decided to run for county council, I went and I researched, you know, what is the role of council? And the role of council is really to set policy. So you said it. There is a ton in these 6 points. And I think credit to be given to Josh. Josh knows and understands this isn't our responsibility to we have participated in creating the structure, but our staff is going to be working on putting together the solutions on how we're going to address our priorities in the strategic plan.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going through it in my own, one of my own businesses, my insurance agency, where we are working extremely hard. We have a consultant started this morning, and it's all about engaging our staff into making, being a part of making the decisions and coming up with solutions, helping create our vision, our mission, all this stuff. They're participating in it, so they have ownership in it. It's the same thing on the county level. On the county level, the only way we're going to be successful in implementing all this is to have staff input.
Now, have you, this has been formally adopted by the council?
No.
No.
It's draft form draft Tuesday form. Night, and I think we have another workshop next week.
All right. So a few weeks maybe. By the end, first middle of September, sometime after Labor Day.
Yes.
All right. Once it is approved, are you going to put some type of, I don't know, timetable on this so that we're going to do, well, maybe do checkpoints on this every 90 days or something?
Yes.
Where are we?
Yes.
What's getting done? You are.
Yes. Tuesday night was about what is this? So we had, our questions were, what is this? What do we need to do for this to be successful? And then the next will be how. How are we going to implement this and how are we going to track this? And again, that's not our role to do that. That's Josh's role to hold his staff accountable to deadlines, setting few priorities for a particular topic, right?
Right.
And not overwhelming staff with all the things we've got to address. And it's not going to be done in a 30, 60, 90-day period. It's going to take time for that to happen.
I mean, if you just look at safe community, underneath safe community, there are one, two, three, four major subsections, and each of those subsections has about five different items in it. That's
right.
A bunch.
It is. And there are a lot of parties to engage in that process. My comments, as you saw, because I sent you my draft with my comments in it, I'm excited to hear from Tony Breeden. Tony's coming in with a fresh set of eyes. Sheriff Tolson did a great job as our sheriff, but Tony Breeden's coming in. He's going to be our sheriff, and he's coming in with fresh eyes, and he's got a perspective on what he's observed. Otherwise, why would he be passionate about getting elected as our sheriff? So I'm excited to hear what he's thinking that we need to do differently to achieve what you're reading under that section under Safe Community.
And then when you get into parks, I mean, parks, I said this on the air 100 times. It wasn't too long ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that the county had no parks program to speak of. And now all of a sudden we're into it big time.
Yeah.
We bought 2,000 acres down and along the Catawba. We got Nanny's Mountain. We've got da-da-da-da-da. And you're complementing what's already in the municipalities, which
yes.
is good.
Yes.
But underneath this, you have got, whew, we're, we're going to really grow what we've already have. I mean, it's interesting.
Well, the thing is, number one, we hired a consultant out of Clemson that has done these park studies all over South Carolina.
Right.
They know what they're doing, so, you know, the rubber's meeting the road with him. He's going to be giving us his findings on what we need to be doing short and long range with parks. But, no, you think about it, traditionally, the parks that the county owns are passive parks.
Right.
The parks that the municipalities own are active parks.
Correct.
But you may or may not agree, but the municipalities, there's not a ton of land left within the municipalities to grow and develop. The future growth and development of York County is the unincorporated areas of the county. Now, some people may ride up and down Highway 5 from York to Highway 80, Interstate 85, and you ride on that four-lane road and you say, wow, somebody spent all this money on this four-lane road and there's nothing out here.
Just wait.
Huh?
Just wait.
Yeah. Wait for what?
Infrastructure.
For water and sewer.
That's right.
So water and sewer utilities get out there. As they begin to get out there, yes, you're going to see development. So as from a parks perspective, I think that this is me personally, and I shared this Tuesday night. I think that what council has to wrap their head around, we're elected to represent the unincorporated areas of the county. But there's not a lot out in the unincorporated areas of the county. All the activities within the incorporated part of the county, the municipalities. But that won't be the case once annexation stops, and annexations will stop when we run water and sewer to, in essence, block annexation. And then water and sewer gets out into the county, and the county begins to develop. And we can, the first point of what we will get to in a minute is about economic development.
Oh, yeah.
Quality infrastructure was number six.
Right.
So we've got an opportunity, really. Robert Beatty's sitting here beside us, and Robert Beatty owns some land, and he's got a unique piece of property. So
he's unique.
What? He is unique. And he's a part of the fabric of Rock Hill and York County. But what's going to happen out in Robert's area with all the land out there? What is it going to look like in the future? And I think we have an opportunity. I think we have a unique opportunity. And this is what I believe Josh is helping us accomplish, even through this strategic plan, is to look out on the eastern side of York County, to look on the south side of York County, I-77, the western side of York County, Lake Wylie, that area. Look at that and say, okay, what do we need to do intentionally to truly develop this out where, yes, you got to have industrial and you got to have commercial, but we need to preserve our farmland. That's a tough one. How do you preserve farmland when there aren't farmers there to farm it? But we need to preserve our farmland. I think it needs to be an initiative. We need to have green space. And we need to reconsider how we're building, because the flat approach of building, in my opinion, this is just me speaking, the flat approach of building, that means that you have to build out when we should be considering building up and then maintain the ground as green.
Mm.
I've done a lot of traveling in the last 2 years. Maybe I haven't traveled as much as I have in the past, but now that I'm on council, I have an interest in what economic development looks like, and I have seen it. I've seen it in Wilmington, North Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. You go to Charleston, what's going on all around Berkeley County with how they're developing it out. Go down to Florida, I've seen it. I've seen it in other, I've seen it in Nashville, Tennessee. I've seen it in Austin, Texas. It's interesting what's taking place. So I say all that to say that what hasn't been developed in New York County yet, we have a unique opportunity to develop it with intentionality while preserving our heritage, which in my opinion is agriculture and farmland.
Well, to do all that, you need to control the land. If you had unlimited resources and the county could own the land, then you could dictate how it's going to happen.
I think that's part of it, Manning, but it's like I said in the council meeting Tuesday night, there are 50 people in Substation 2 right now. I would venture to say there might be one person in here that if they walked out the door and hit by a car and passed away, that they have set their estate up and everything that's supposed to happen with their assets happens.
Right.
They don't have a will. They haven't done any estate planning. So farmers are no different. People that own tracts of land are no different. And the law as it stands in South Carolina, if you die, everything goes to your surviving spouse. No taxes. And right now, in the current tax code, there's no taxes for most people when you leave it to the next generation. But a lot of people don't plan it going to the next generation. You may have a three-generation farmer that would really like for their land to remain somewhat farming, somewhat green, some of it developed, but they never took the time to put the plan in place. So when they pass away, their kids are doing something else in another city or state, and they inherit 100, 200, 500,000 acres, and what do?
Cash it out.
Cash out. And what happens to us? We lose our identity here in York County. So I think, this is just my opinion, and I shared this Tuesday night. You can go back and listen to the recording. I think there's an opportunity for us to take the initiative. When I say us, is that council? I don't think so. You got to put a specialized group together that knows how to share with people and educate them what their options are. Florence County is doing it right now. They're meeting with all their farmers talking about this issue.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that you have to fund through conservation easements or whatever else. You don't have to fund the purchase of the land. The big thing is having the conversation about what are you thinking? Well, tell you the truth, I've given them some thought, but I just haven't made a decision. Why? That's a tough decision, because in their heart they're going, I'd rather my land not be developed, but then I know my kids would like to have $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $10 million, $20 million for this land, too.
Sure, that's right. Well, you need to have a conversation with State Representative Randy Ligon, because we talked that conversation just 3 days ago.
Yes.
All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relaxing with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we have drawn the masses in here today. You can tell Winthrop is back in session, right? So they're here because they remember why they come here, right? Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. How do we do it at the count of three? Are you ready? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When you're getting a bundle from Comporium, you're getting an all-seeing, all-knowing personal security detail. You're getting shows and shows and, oh yeah, more shows. You're getting a social calendar filled with family game time, game day get-togethers, and don't worry, we saved you a spot on the couch parties, because we're not just your internet company. We're your yes to all of the above company.
Relax this summer with a promotional rate on select travel purchases with your Founders Federal Credit Union credit card. Now through August 31st, get 6.99% APR for 6 months on qualifying purchases, including airfare, hotels, restaurants, and cruise lines. Don't let interest rates slow you down this summer. Visit foundersfcu.com/travel to learn more. On March 1st, 2025, the promotional APR reverts to the effective APRs previously disclosed. Call 800-845-1614 for details about credit costs and terms. Membership qualification required.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Love the bread. Number 19's the best.
Fresh, delicious bread.
It's fresh.
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight great talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, having a very interesting discussion with York County Council Member Watts Huckabee, who is just finishing up his first two-year term, but he does have a full four-year term that he is going to be elected to because nobody would take him on.
Well, you never know. There could be a write-in candidate.
Maybe it's Robert.
It could be.
Robert Bates. His first meeting would say, what's the strategic plan?
Right.
Not doing that. He said, okay, you don't have to worry about that. All right, we only have a few minutes left. The next steps on this thing, I mean, are you going to have, like, public meetings where John Q. Public can come and say, we love this, we hate this, bye-bye?
That's a really good point, yes. You'll, as you read through the strategic plan, there is a theme of community input. Now, the only thing about community input is, and this was my concern, when you just had a new county manager come in, and I'll say, but I hope people don't take this the wrong way, we're affecting change, right?
Uh-huh.
There's change. When you have a new leader, they have a new perspective on how they want to leave, and they have an expectation, and they're going to hold you accountable to it. So my caution is that let's get our house in order first and then go out to the community and ask for input. But when you go ask people for input, you got to be prepared to do something with it.
Yeah.
Because if you go ask for input – just because it's an exercise, the result of that could be futile.
Well, when we think about how diversified we are in this county, we have a rural part of the county and we have a metropolitan part of the county, urbanized part of the county. I mean, I can see people from the county out of the rural part,
right,
saying, I don't understand, how's this plan going to protect where I am? And that's where you need to be able to fire back. If we do this, 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 and this, we'll be able to preserve.
How much time do we have? I want to go off on a tangent.
Well, you got about 3 minutes.
Good. All right. Affordable housing. So affordable housing,
you're
going to get mixed reviews on affordable housing. And so don't hold me to what I'm about to say, but I think I'm pretty close. And I think close is good enough. I don't think you have to be spot on. So there are 32,000 rooftops in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It is said that you should not be spending more than 30% of your gross income towards the cost of your home. So your mortgage payment, taxes, insurance, upkeep, and utility bill. You shouldn't be paying more than 30% of your gross income. So when you apply that, we are way out of kilter in York County on this. There are a ton of people paying 50% of their income, so they're strangled by their home. Now, what about the people that don't have a home? If you earn $55,000 or less, affordably speaking, you should not have more than $1,250 a month in expenses towards your home.
Right.
That's a $200,000 home at an interest rate of 7%. How many of those exist in York County?
None.
Exactly. How many should exist in York County? When you look at those that earn $55,000 or less, in Rock Hill, I mean, we are six. We are roughly 6,000 homes short of providing adequate, affordable, attainable workforce housing for just the people in Rock Hill. Forget about the rest of the county. This is a huge issue.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, it hurts employers. If employers got to pay a more significant wage, just cost of living inflation, but because people don't have a place to live.
Right.
This is a serious issue. And this isn't necessarily Section 8 housing. It's not.
Nope.
These are controlled developments where you control the aesthetics and the upkeep and all this stuff. I think it's a serious issue. This is me speaking as one council member.
Well, we'll be doing a lot more about this because there's lots of things brewing right now, which is good.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that on our next program, I
hope.
Look forward
to it.
Anyway, thank you, Watts.
Thank you for
having
me.
Appreciate you being here. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. All right, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We do a magical thing here called fresh subs and salads. And the way it's done is right before your eyes. And for those who are not here to see it, we're going to let you hear about it when this crowd reads these white letters together at the count of three. Are we ready? Everybody's ready over here.
Right.
At the count of three, how do we do it here? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Not bad. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio tonight for high school football. How about
Trojans.
The Football City USA kickoff? 4 o'clock, we start our broadcast. Bye.